What's so special about Lothlorien? It's magical and beautiful, but is there something deeper going on? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and other great fantasy books and TV shows like The Witcher. Welcome. When the Fellowship arrive at Lothlorien in The Lord of the Rings, it is like an oasis of almost ethereal beauty and safety. They had been chased by orcs after escaping from Moria, but they were dealt with, and now, well, this is the description we get. As the night deepened, more lights sprang forth, until all the hills seemed afire with stars. They came at last to a white bridge, and crossing, found the great gates of the city. They faced southwest, set between the ends of the encircling wall that here overlapped, and there were tall and strong, and hung with many lamps. No folk could they see, nor hear any feet upon the paths, but there were many voices about them, and in the air above. Far away, up on the hill, they could hear the sound of singing falling from on high, like soft rain upon leaves. They went along many paths and climbed many stairs until they came to the high places, and saw before them, amid a wide lawn, a fountain shimmering. It was lit by silver lamps that swung from the boughs of trees, and it fell into a basin of silver, from which a white stream spilled. Upon the south side of the lawn there stood the mightiest of all the trees. Its great smooth bole gleamed like grey silk, and up it towered until its first branches, far above, opened their huge limbs under the shadowy clouds of leaves. It sounds idyllic, and Tolkien, who liked writing about trees and nature, didn't hold back. That was just a small part of the wider description. The elves they meet within seem content and wise and at peace, at least compared to Thranduil's folk in northern Mirkwood, say, or the tumultuous Noldor of the First Age. There is magic involved, surely, but what exactly is going on, and how safe and magical is it? Well, Lothlorien wasn't always like that. Its first inhabitants that we know of were some Nandor elves who, back in the mists of time, answered the call of the Valar to head west, but decided en route that they didn't really want to cross the Misty Mountains, and instead settled in the forests east of the mountains. They were kin to the elves that settled in Greenwood the Great, which later became known as Mirkwood. Now, just on terminology, Tolkien famously has a lot of different names for different types of elves at different times in history, but by the Second Age, the elf community that grew up in Lothlorien were mostly now known as Sylvan Elves, or when others were added to their number, the Galadhrim, the Tree People. Which probably encapsulates well their culture. They weren't great craftsmen like the Noldor, or lived in cave systems like Thranduil's folk. They lived among the trees. Classic wood elves, if you like. Their lives were simple and in tune with nature. They did build things, houses, defensive walls and the like, but they were very much a part of their environment. The tree canopy was their roof. The history gets a little bit blurry in the Second and Third Ages. Tolkien changed his mind several times on the movements of Galadriel and Celeborn, but those elves came under new leadership of a Sindar elf named Amdir, who led many of his people to disaster in what we know now as the Dead Marshes during the last alliance of elves and men. His son Amroth took over, but himself left a couple of thousand years later, at which point Galadriel and Celeborn were invited to step in, which they did as Lady and Lord, rather than Queen and King. This wasn't a random move by the Galadhrim. Galadriel had been a guest and visitor there, sometimes with Celeborn and probably also their daughter Celebrian, on and off for centuries, and their wisdom was there for all to see. The land there was already beautiful, but it was with the arrival of Galadriel and Celeborn as co-rulers that Lothlorien became special. In fact, I've been calling it Lothlorien all this time, but it was only after this that it held that name, which means Lorien of the Blossom, or perhaps Dreamflower. It was made more beautiful by the introduction of Malorn trees, enormously tall with leaves turning silver then gold, casting a beautiful glow around the area, with bark that could be used to make silky rope and branches wide and strong enough for flets to be built on them. Malorn trees are rare and magical. Coming from Valinor, then Numenor, Gil-galad had some Malorn nuts, but they would not grow in Lindon, so when Galadriel used hers to grow them in Lothlorien, they became the only Malorn trees in Middle-earth. she gifted one final Malorn nut to Sam for it to become the new party tree in the Shire at the end of the story. Galadriel also introduced the making of Lembas, another secret passed on from Valinor, and built a new capital or stronghold called Karas Galadhon. Make no mistake, this was beautiful, but very much a defensive structure too. It had a fosse, a defensive ditch, a wall, and inside, the structures were set in Malorn trees, whose lowest branches were at least 5 metres from the ground, so anyone who did make it inside would still be attacked from above by the famed Sylvan archers. Actually, let's talk about the defences a bit more, because they were deceptively strong. Lothlorien was attacked 3 times in the War of the Ring, and repelled the attackers every time. Tolkien writes that 3 times Lorien had been assailed from Dol Guldur, but besides the valour of the elven people of that land, the power that dwelt there was too great for any to overcome, unless Sauron had come there himself. Though grievous harm was done to their fair woods on the borders, the assaults were driven back. That's quite a big claim, that its defences were so great that any army short of one led by Sauron himself would have been repelled. Elves themselves are clearly key here, as is the natural geography. The elves know their land and are very stealthy, so any attacker would be at a huge disadvantage. There were many miles of forest to make their way through before even reaching the central fortification, but there is also a power that dwells there, according to Tolkien. Before we get on to exactly what that is, and I'm sure you're ahead of me there anyway, let's touch on 2 specific ways Lothlorien was protected. The first of which is more of a long-lived fan theory than anything explicitly stated by Tolkien, and that's that Lothlorien was protected by something akin to the Girdle of Melian in the First Age. For those who need reminding, Melian the Maiar was queen of the elven kingdom of Doriath, and used her magic to create a magical barrier around the land to prevent enemies from entering. Galadriel spent a long time in the First Age living with and learning from Melian, so many fans believe she took the principle of this girdle to create the border to Lothlorien, which kept evil and the ravages of time out. As I said, Tolkien doesn't specifically say that this is the case, but it makes sense. Second, Lothlorien was protected by superior military intelligence. As Galadriel explains to Frodo, "Even as I speak to you, I perceive the Dark Lord and know his mind, or all of his mind that concerns the elves, and he gropes ever to see me and my thought, but still the door is closed." So Galadriel knew what Sauron was planning regarding the elves, and her elves in particular, I'm sure, but Sauron couldn't see her and what she was planning, which means that she would have known of every attack Sauron planned on Lothlorien in advance, including those 3 in the War of the Ring, and would be able to prepare for them. That's a massive advantage. But of course, the greatest power being used to defend Lothlorien was that of Nenya, Galadriel's Ring of Power. Again, she explains to Frodo, "Do not think that only by singing amid the trees, nor even by the slender arrows of elven bows, is this land of Lothlorien maintained and defended against its enemy." She lifted up her white arms and spread out her hands towards the east in a gesture of rejection and denial. Eärendil, the evening star, most beloved of the elves, shone clear above. So bright was it that the figure of the elven lady cast a dim shadow on the ground. Its rays glanced upon a ring about her finger. It glittered like polished gold overlaid with silver light, and a white stone in it twinkled as if the even star had come down to rest upon her hand. Frodo gazed at the ring with awe. Frodo, as ring-bearer, saw the ring, which was hidden to others, and for all the power of the elf archers, superior intelligence, home advantage, and even Galadriel's own considerable power, this was the greatest single factor in making and keeping Lothlorien so safe and so idyllic. Nenya hugely boosted Galadriel's innate power, and had a particular focus on preservation of beauty and prevention of decay, as well as seemingly protection against evil. It was also the Ring of Water, which suggests that perhaps it had a role in underpinning the considerable powers of the Mirror of Galadriel and her fountain. Don't forget, it was the waters of the fountain that captured the holy light of Eärendil's star into the file of Galadriel. And the mirror itself obviously showed visions of the past, present, and possible futures, a powerful tool indeed. Perhaps, though, the importance of the ring is best shown by what happened after it had lost its power. Galadriel foresaw that if you succeed, that's Frodo, then our power is diminished, and Lothlorien will fade, and the tides of time will sweep it away. We must depart into the west, or dwindle to a rustic folk of dell and cave, slowly to forget and to be forgotten. And sure enough, that happened. In little more than a century, Lothlorien had returned completely to nature. Its people departed for the west. Lothlorien looks and feels like some kind of elf nirvana, beautiful, timeless, and magically defended. And that's because that's exactly what it was, an elf homeland kept in ethereal stasis by the power of Nenya. Or, as Tolkien himself put it, the elves of Eregion made three supremely beautiful and powerful rings, almost solely of their own imagination, and directed to the preservation of beauty. The chief power of all the rings alike was the prevention or slowing of decay, i.e. change viewed as a regrettable thing. The preservation of what is desired or loved or its semblance, this is more or less an elvish motive. That is what Lothlorien was all about, the preservation of what the elves loved about Middle-earth and yearned for about Valinor. It was an oasis where decay and time could be kept at bay. The immortal, slow-changing elves were not actually suited to Middle-earth with its endless change, birth, death, destruction, and regrowth. Lothlorien was a shelter from that. And when Nenya lost its power with the destruction of the One Ring, that protection and preservation ended, and Lothlorien lost what made it so special. Not that it was lost entirely. Part of it lived on in that other untouched idyll of the Shire, with the party tree, grown by Sam from that last Malorn nut gifted by Galadriel. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen now. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.